serious injuries went to Coos Bay's big regional hospital. Curtis, being Curtis, he refused the idea of a wheelchair and continued using me as a crutch to make it to the clinic's reception desk. She got us in a triage room pretty quickly. I went with him because he was still protesting the wheelchair despite not being able to put weight on the foot. The medical assistant took his vitals and said the doctor would be in shortly.
"You didn't need to come with me,"
he grumbled as we got him situated on the exam table. "It was that or watch you squash the nurse, you stubborn. Knock, knock." A man entered the room, the tag on his white coat announcing him as Dr. Strauss. He wasn't that much older than me, maybe early 30s, with dark hair and almost elfin features with an impish smile.
"Stubborn is my specialty. I hear someone's going to need x-rays. Let's take a look, see if we can get some painkiller on board before too much longer."
"I'll be fine with Tylenol."
Curtis frowned, wincing as the doctor bent to inspect his foot.
"Ow! Heck! Heck!"
"Uh-huh. I think we'll do a painkiller shot, tough guy. Unless you've got any allergies or other reasons not to."
The doctor continued his prodding as Curtis groaned.
"No allergies,"
he gritted out.
"Good. It could be just a bad sprain, but I want to see some x-rays before I say for sure. Let's get you in the queue, and I'll see you again in a bit. Veronica will be in with that painkiller shot. And I want you to let her use a wheelchair to get you over to imaging. No more using your partner as a human crutch."
"Oh, we're not boyfriends," I quickly corrected him, even if I was coming to wish that were true. Our pleasant Sunday had been close to perfect. Kinky as fuck sex and sweet dining together and a long, slow kiss goodnight that promised another round later this week.
"No way is he putting up with my ass,"
Curtis joked while still wincing. That wasn't true. I'd happily put up with his cranky side if it meant more days like Sunday.
"You're not so bad,"
I protested, because I couldn't let him go thinking that I was the one holding back.
"You guys are fun."
The doctor gave us both a bemused smile.
"Take care. I'll see you again later."
Curtis continued his grumbling when the nurse brought in the painkiller shot, but managed to be civil to her and the x-ray tech. We had a long wait for the x-rays to come back.
"You want my phone?"
I offered as I picked up a cooking magazine. Nothing on the table of magazines in the waiting area looked likely to appeal to Curtis.
"For what?"
Curtis frowned. "A game? Or the internet? Here, let me show you this fun game I downloaded." Digging my phone out of my pocket, I leaned in so I could teach him the finer points of the fish-raising game I liked.
"This really worth the price of that phone?"
He shook his head even as he clicked around. I could tell the painkillers were kicking in, because he was smiling more than usual and complaining less and didn't seem to care how cozy we probably looked sitting close together like this.
"Well, the games, email, pictures, Instagram. Lots of reasons to join the new century, old man."
I bumped his shoulder.
"Who you calling old?"
There was more heat in his eyes than I would have expected, given his pain levels.
"Your x-rays are ready."
Veronica came to fetch Curtis right as I was about to continue the flirting.
"You want me to go with you?"
I asked, even as I went ahead and stood. I really wanted to hear what the doctor said.
"Guess you might as well."
Curtis's dopey grin was cute. Veronica wheeled him into the room, and I took the side chair after helping Curtis get on the exam table.
"Good news." Dr. Strauss came back in. "It's not a break. Probably just a bad sprain, and..."
"I told you."
Curtis glared at me. "It's always a good idea to be safe rather than sorry."
The doctor soothed.
"Let's get you in a walking boot and on crutches and reevaluate in 2 weeks. I'd like to see you stay off it for a few days, though, even with the boot. The more rest you get, the faster it will heal.
I don't need rest. I've got work to do.
Clearly, the painkillers hadn't smoothed all Curtis's rough edges.
He'll rest, I assured the doctor.
Good. Listen to your friend, he said to Curtis. He's a smart guy.
The doctor's gaze lingered on me a few seconds longer than it should have.
Wait. I know where I recognize you from. The Rainbow Tavern, right? I ate there last week. Amazing food.
Yeah, I cook there. I didn't really know what to do with his appraising look. Are you new to the area? I change the specials all the time. You should come by again.
This is just my third week here, and I'll be back for sure. Your food is something special. You said something about a boot?
Curtis spoke up. If I didn't know better, I'd say he was jealous of the doctor complimenting me, but that was ridiculous. Curtis didn't do jealous, and it wasn't like the doctor had been flirting. He just liked my food.
I'll send Veronica back in with one in a second, and a prescription for a few days of stronger painkillers before you switch to over-the-counter meds.
He turned right as he was about to walk out of the room, eyes still on me.
It was nice meeting you guys. I bet,
Curtis said under his breath. Behave. I shook my head. Medicine was obviously making him punchier than usual. And before you start in on me, I'm taking you back to my place. You shouldn't be alone tonight.
I don't feel up to a scene.
Curtis looked away. Yeah, Curtis. That's what I wanted. You with a sprained ankle totally gets me in the mood. I rolled my eyes at him. No, you're going to lay on my couch and we're going to watch a movie and you're going to let me feed you so you don't have the painkillers on an empty stomach.
Why would you want that? Someone has to help your grumpy ass.
I kept my voice light, even as jumbled thoughts piled up in my head. Why, indeed? Because I liked him. Because I worried about him. Because he needed it. Because I liked helping, but mainly because I cared. Way more than I wanted to, and for whatever reason, I seemed powerless to stop it. And while chances were high that he wouldn't be the only one hurting before this night was through, I still wanted to take care of him.
14. Curtis. The kid seemed bound and determined to drive me nuts, driving me to his place even over my protests. I was a bit woozy from the painkillers, so my objections weren't as strong as they might otherwise be. But I really didn't want to be a burden on him. The injury had been so stupid. I'd been unloading some wood, thinking about my upcoming date with Logan, and next thing I knew I'd been on my ass. That was what anticipation got me. Nothing good could come from starting to look forward to my time with him. You sure I'm the one you want to be taken home? I asked as he helped me get the crutches out of his car. That doctor seemed awfully happy that we weren't a couple. Him? Interested in me? Logan blushed, much as I'd expected. I don't think so. You're blind, and fishing for compliments from me. I wasn't gonna feed his ego. But he did look damn good, goatee filling out, brown work shirt making his hair seem darker than usual, heavy boots and thick belt finishing off the uber-badass effect. But yeah, he was totally looking like he'd let you fuck him. I should encourage this. A doctor close to Logan's own age was exactly what he needed, especially if they got to talking and discovered any mutual kinks. Doctor didn't look kinky. But I'd been wrong on that front enough to stop making assumptions. But the thought of them together made my teeth grind, and I didn't like the sigh of relief that coursed through me when Logan shook his head. I doubt I'm his type. And besides, I've got a lumberjack fetish going lately. He winked at me. Well, by all means, we better satisfy that. Sorry, Doc. This one's mine for right now. I used the crutches to follow him into the house. And because I was still feeling salty about the doctor's compliments, I didn't give him too hard of a time when he set to fussing over me, getting me arranged on the couch, foot on a pillow, on a footstool, with some ice packs, blankets for the rest of me. "This is the controller for the TV system." He handed me what looked more like a wireless game controller than a remote. "There's games and movies both on the streaming app. Pick anything you want, and I'll make us some dinner." "Don't go to any trouble." He cut me off with a laugh. "Haven't you figured out by now that I love cooking for people? You're not trouble. You're my willing victim. And I'm trying a new recipe for pan-grilled portobello mushrooms over mashed Yukon Gold potatoes. I think you'll like it." Warmth spread out across my chest. He'd remembered my offhand comment about liking mushrooms. "Doesn't sound too bad." "I'll take that as a compliment." He leaned down and kissed the top of my head before going to the kitchen. This was even more domestic than our dinner on Sunday, me all settled on the couch listening to him clank around in the kitchen. It took me a while to figure out his fiddly controller, but finally I scrolled around the dizzying array of choices. I knew from the posters in every room that he liked older movies, so I called out to him. "You want a new release or want me to pick a classic?" "Whatever you prefer. Seriously, I'm easy." He popped his head into the room. "Movies are kind of like cooking for me. Escapism that I got into in my teens. I love the classics because my mom was really strict about ratings with me, and I ran out of things I was allowed to watch. But I'll watch any genre now." "Okay." I watched a few trailers before settling on a recent release that promised a lot of explosions. Troy had always liked thinky sci-fi, but I liked some firepower. Shortly after I got it selected, Logan emerged with two plates of food. They looked like something out of one of the food magazines back at the clinic. Snowy potatoes topped with seared mushrooms in some sort of sauce, and steamed broccoli dressed with flecks of pepper and garlic. Everything was arranged and garnished just so. Wow. I failed in my bid to not let on how impressed I was. I dug in even before he settled himself next to me. "You're making me need to figure out how to grow mushrooms. And I do potatoes all the time, but not like this." "The secret is whipping them with seasoning, coconut milk, and vegan butter." Logan beamed under my praise, which made me want to dish it out more often. "And I used some of the coconut milk in the dessert." "There's dessert? I seriously could not go getting used to this luxury." "Apple scones. Mason does most of the baking and desserts at the tavern, but his vegan offerings are too crumbly. I wanted to play around on my own, see if I could solve the texture issue."
"I guess I can be the guinea pig. I'm here and all."
I tried not to sound too eager and failed miserably. I could go back to my boiled potatoes and beans soon enough. We watched the movie while we ate, and I congratulated myself on my restraint in not licking the plate. Around the time when the good guys were finishing an epic car chase, Logan cleared our plates and returned with something that smelled the way I figured heaven must. Cinnamon, apples, sugar. And the taste and texture lived up to the smell, warm and delicate and pillowy. No offense to Mason, but you take whatever he's got on the menu off, and you offer these instead. Maybe do some sort of coconut whipped cream or ice cream for those who like things over the top. "I'll do that." Leaning over, Logan gave me a quick kiss. "Thanks for taste testing. I've got some left for breakfast tomorrow."
"Breakfast? I'm not sleeping over."
"Sure you are. Do you even have a TV at your place? You can take the day off, watch movies here while I'm at work, and we'll see if you're up to going back after I get home. The weather's supposed to be horrible again tomorrow, so not like you'd be missing a ton of customers."
If Nash gets wind of this, If Nash hears that you're all alone with a bum leg, he'll have you over on his and Mason's sofa before you finish complaining. That really what you want? Pretty sure their TV has parental controls, but I'll leave you instructions on how to stream porn. Well, you do have other benefits over Nash. I gave him a pointed look, and you're just devious enough to mention this to Mason if I make you take me home. Oh, I'm more than devious enough. He gave me another kiss, this one lingering. He tasted sweet, like the scone, and I couldn't help chasing the flavor, licking at his lips, welcoming his tongue. I'd figure the painkillers would axe any interest my body had in sex for the night, but the kiss quickly proved me wrong. This was different from our usual encounters, and twice as dangerous without the confines of a scene. This was just two guys on a couch, ignoring a movie in favor of making out. Nothing kinky. No lesson to hide behind. Just endless kisses, the kind where I wasn't sure whether we'd been at it 5 minutes or an hour. I told myself I'd never again need something like this, but Logan's eager mouth was proving me a liar. "You're distracting," I gasped as he abandoned my mouth in favor of my ears and neck. "Just showing off the fringe benefits of staying here." He grinned at me before tugging on my collar and licking the spot where my shoulder and neck met. I had on a flannel shirt over a T-shirt, and he worked my buttons while teasing me with more kisses and bites. Whether it was the painkillers or the drugging power of his kisses, I didn't protest when he pushed my shirts off. Once he had me shirtless, he continued his trail of kisses over my collarbones, down my pecs. He licked at my nipples, flicking with his tongue. "Bite me," I whispered. It was more request than order, but our dynamic still felt flipped from the usual. And instead of reminding me who was in charge, he complied with a growl, biting and sucking until my head fell back and I was panting, cock throbbing with each breath. "I'm investing in nipple clamps," he said with a laugh before licking down the center of my chest. I had a feeling where he was headed, and I sure as hell wasn't gonna be the one to stop him. It had been a damn long time since I'd had this. And same as with his kisses and good food, I was powerless to deny myself what he offered. Sure enough, he undid my belt and got my cock out, all while still licking and kissing my chest and abs. As he'd done with my nipples, he started by teasing, little flutters and flicks that drove me straight out of my head. Right when I was about to tell him to get on with it, he swallowed me down to the root, sucking hard. The abrupt change had me moaning. "Fuck, you're good at that." "Thanks." He flashed a smile at me before rearranging himself so that he was on his knees in front of the couch. I still had my bum foot propped up so I couldn't move much. Had to just take his attentions. Not that it was a hardship when he set a slow, deep tempo. I could have floated for hours on his sucking and touching, but then he started fiddling with my already sensitive nipples while speeding up, and I couldn't help the groans that escaped my throat. "Fuck, Logan, you're gonna get me off." I let my hand rest on his head. I had a strong feeling he wasn't as into hair pulling as me, so I just gently sifted the silky strands of his hair. "That would be the idea." He resumed his efforts, swallowing hard when he had me deep, pinching and pulling my nipples, the perfect blend of soft pleasure and rough touches. The climax sneaked up on me, a gradual tightening in my balls, tension in my muscles increasing until I was panting and rocking my hips up to meet his mouth best as I could. He hummed. A happy noise like he couldn't get enough of this, and that set me off, a slow burn that crackled through my nerve endings, orgasm building until there was no holding it back. Fuck. Fuck. Coming. He sucked me through it, swallowing it all down before pulling back. Staying now? Fucker. I had to laugh. You know I can't move after that. You play dirty. Guilty. His eyes sparkled as he returned to the couch next to me. Tugging him close, I indulged myself in a long, lazy kiss. I loved the hint of my taste on his lips. What do you need? I asked, hands stroking his torso. You to let me get you to bed. I meant, so did I. He stood, holding out his hands to help me up. And I was just sleepy enough after coming that I let him. He shut off the TV while I grabbed my crutches. We made our way to his bed, where he resumed fussy mode, helping me out of my pants, getting a pillow for my foot. Why did him taking care of me have to feel so damn good? Why did he have to make it so easy to stay? I didn't know. And that bugged me even as I sank into the welcoming softness of his bed. Sane or not, I wasn't going anywhere. Not anytime soon.
Logan. Knowing Curtis was back at my place was the best kind of secret all day. I mean, I was sorry he was hurt, but I wasn't sorry for the night we'd spent together. Him appreciating my latest recipes. Us not watching the movie, and whether it was the medicine or the lingering effects of the blowjob, he'd been almost cuddly in bed, kissing and touching and getting me off with his hand before we fell asleep. For all that I loved kink, I loved that we could be vanilla sometimes, too, enjoy each other's company that way. We closed the kitchen around 9, and I was very discreet about boxing up some leftovers to bring Curtis, and honestly, I was a little relieved to find him still on my couch when I got home. I totally wouldn't have put hiking back to his place in the rain on crutches past him. "How's the foot?" I called as I entered the house through the kitchen door. It was kind of nice, coming in to a warm house, TV going.
"Better. Still hurts, but I'm making do."
He used the crutches to meet me in the kitchen. The fact that he was admitting to pain at all probably meant it was killing him.
"I could go back to my place now.
Did you eat dinner?" I asked him, ignoring the part about taking him home. "I brought us a vegan pizza to share. We had some dough and vegetables that needed using. Ditto the last batch of sweet potato fries. Horatio got overzealous with the fryer." I set out the food I'd brought, making us plates of salad, pizza, and still warm fries.
"I kinda lived on those scones you left,"
he admitted. "I told you to help yourself to anything in the fridge or freezer." I lightly boxed his arm.
"I know. Scones were that good."
His mouth wrinkled, like the compliment made him grumpy. "I'm glad." I loved preparing food he liked, loved getting past his prickly defenses. "Now eat some real food." I carried the plates to the living room so that he could prop his foot back up.
"Want me to turn off the show?"
He was watching some sort of documentary or reality TV show about fishermen in what looked to be a freezing sea. "Nah, I'm so bushed after today that I'm not sure I can pay attention to anything anyway. Glad you found something you like to binge."
"It'll do."
He shrugged.
"Went a bit stir-crazy, to be honest. Wish I'd brought some whittling with me."
"Aw, poor baby. I'll take you back in the morning. That way you can whittle with your foot up and see if you get any customers. But no charging around with a chainsaw. You can afford a few days off."
"I shouldn't stay here again."
"I'm tired." I made an exaggerated pleading face at him. "Please. I'll run you back first thing, I promise."
"You work too hard,"
said the man who should know. He surprised me by putting his plate aside and rubbing my shoulders.
These long hours aren't good for you.
Nature of the industry. I relaxed into his touch. Eventually we'll have more kitchen help, and I'll be able to work more sane hours.
My work comes more in waves, feast or famine.
And this is a slow time? Seemed like everyone in town was suffering from the winter blahs with tourism down to almost nothing.
Actually, not usually. There's a big competition up on the Washington coast that I do every year. I'll sell good there and pick up some commissions to float me through to spring when business starts picking up here again. But now...
He made a pained face as he shrugged.
Not sure I can drive 8 hours on this foot next week and still be able to carve when I get there. Fuck, I hate this.
The festival is next weekend? I thought fast. I can't miss Valentine's Day the following week, but I bet if I offer Mason 2 weekends in a row off, he might switch with me. I could go with you, do the driving.
You ever drive a truck?
That wasn't a no. So I smiled. I worked for a catering company for a while, drove the truck and the van both, and my parents' SUV isn't exactly tiny either.
You'd probably be bored. It's a weekend of woodcarvers doing their thing. There's local food in Ocean Shores and other places on the North Coast and...
Sold. I can scope what other places are doing, get ideas, and I happen to like watching you do your thing. Also, you were just telling me I need to work less. Other than 2 days at Christmas, I haven't taken much of a break since the tavern opened.
Well, I suppose it might work out.
It will. I slipped him a fast kiss. It'll be fun. You'll see.
Maybe we could take a few toys with us. A good scene might help me carve better.
He winked at me. Anything to help? I meant it. I wanted to make sure he didn't lose a big chunk of income, but I also wanted to help him. Wanted to share this with him. Wanted to see him in action. And I knew those feelings were risky as fuck. Where I saw deepening friendship, Curtis inevitably saw a favor to be repaid. This trip could easily be a disaster, but I couldn't stop my pulse from speeding up at the idea of spending that much time together.
You're in over your head.
Maybe I was, but I'd learned to thrive on risks, learning Aikido, confronting my bullies, doing culinary school, moving to Rainbow Cove to open the tavern with my friends. And so, I was sprinting headlong into this one. And it felt glorious. Far better than hanging back and doing what everyone else expected of me.
15. Curtis. Exactly why are you taking Logan with you to Burning Bears? Nash had stopped by Monday, looking all official in the police jeep. I was sitting out in front of my place, whittling, trying to rest my foot even though it killed me to not be more mobile. And what's this I hear about you having a hurt leg? It's healing. I stuck my foot out so he could see the walking boot. Just a bad sprain. But if I want to fit into regular boots for this thing this weekend, I probably don't want to be driving 8 hours myself. Invited the kid along. Nothing for you to get all worked up over. So you and Logan are friends now? Nash looked as skeptical as I'd known he would. I shrugged. He needed a few vegan recipes tested. He's come around some. Like I said, nothing serious. He's grown. Doesn't need you screening his friends. He's around Mason's age, but he's always seemed more vulnerable to me. Nash leaned against the pillar for the awning. I know Mason would hate to see him hurt. So would I. Hurting the kid was the last thing I wanted to do. He had so much goodness in him that it was hard not to bottle him up, keep him all for myself, protect him from the world. But Nash was wrong. Logan wasn't vulnerable. He had a steel backbone and was far tougher than anyone around him gave him credit for. And I didn't just mean the Dom stuff. He worked long, hard hours,
something I'd seen while I'd stayed with him, and he did it without complaint, putting everything he had into the tavern. I'm not gonna hurt him. I hope. My chest clenched. But weren't you the one who was all up on me a few weeks back to get out more, make friends? If anyone deserves happiness, it's you. Nash's voice was gentler now. And if that's what this is, Mason's turned you into a romantic, I groaned. This is just a friendship, a casual thing, and he knows that. We're cool. I really hoped I wasn't lying. Logan wanted to be friends. He'd said as much several times. So letting us slip from the lessons thing to something more like friends with benefits wasn't terrible, right? I sure hope not, because I'd been powerless to prevent our evolution over the last week or so. Besides, I added, he'll get bored. Move on. I wouldn't be surprised if he heads back to Portland eventually. Better not tell Ringer and Mason that. Nash gave me a stern look. And better not send the kid running back there either. I know you. What's that supposed to mean? I mean, you always shove people away. Only Troy was bullheaded enough to stay put. And since he's been gone, you've gotten worse. I handle myself, I said in a warning tone. I did not want to discuss my shortcomings. Not when I was already worried about hurting Logan, about when he'd leave. Nash was wrong. Logan wouldn't leave because I shoved him away. It would be him coming to his senses, moving on in the natural progression of things. And it would be me left behind, clinging to a few memories. So Nash needed to step off. Even after Nash left, I continued to stew. I didn't want to hurt Logan. I suppose the kind thing would be to cool this off before we burnt it out. But I couldn't seem to make myself do it. Instead, I found myself anticipating the weekend. I'd been going to this carving competition the better part of a decade now. Troy used to go with me. And last year had been particularly awful, with everyone who didn't know asking after him, and everyone who did asking after me. Taking someone along would be a buffer against that. Yeah, people might read us as a couple, but I gave zero fucks about that. And at least they wouldn't be asking me how I was coping. At least I didn't have to make the drive on my own. Thursday, I had the truck all loaded by the time Logan finished the last of his prep at the tavern. He'd been putting in even longer hours, making sure Mason and Horatio could cover easily. Everything all diced and chopped? I asked as he emerged from his house with a backpack in one hand. And copious instructions. Mason's doing pizza specials because those are easy on him, so he made a huge batch of dough. He inspected the truck bed, which was loaded with my carving tools, plus a number of sculptures for sale. I'd be carving cedar they had at the event, but it never hurt to bring some stock with me. Are you sure you should have done all this with your ankle? I took breaks, I assured him. And it's doing far better. Swelling's almost completely down. It'll be good to wear regular work boots tomorrow and Saturday. You still need to pace yourself. Yeah. I slid into the passenger seat, and that felt damn weird. Hadn't been over on this side of the truck since Troy. Which I really didn't want to think about. There would be enough ghosts and memories this weekend. Logan did something fiddly with my stereo and a wire and his phone. There we go. Now we can have music the whole way up. If you leave me in charge of the music, you might not like it. I grinned at him. Funny how easy my smiles came these days. I'm fully prepared for a rotation of Bon Jovi and Lynyrd Skynyrd. He laughed as he backed out of his driveway. Hey, ask nice and I might add some Mellencamp or Springsteen. We were taking 101. We could have taken the interstate, but by the time we drove east to catch it, we'd only save maybe a half hour, and Logan was sold on the tourist route, going straight up the coast, where we'd get decent views before night came. I'd done 101 both in the truck and on the motorcycle so many times that I didn't have much preference myself. But his eagerness was all kinds of cute. Troy would have liked him. I'd had the fleeting thought before, but this time it really hit me. Troy would have found his foodie ways amusing, and would have given him a list of day trips to try out. He'd have had him on a motorcycle before too long. He would have called him a baby Dom, and had a good laugh about that and about me giving lessons, but he would have liked what he and Mason and Adam were trying to do with the town. He would have ordered the steak, and made sure all our friends came out and supported the place too. Suddenly my chest was 3 sizes too small. God, I miss that man. I'd never carve again if it meant bringing him back. But he was gone, and we were here. And I no longer knew how to make any sense out of that. Time was moving on. I was moving on. And I wasn't sure whether I liked it one bit.
Logan. Curtis was weirdly quiet the first part of the drive, playing around with the playlist on my phone, but otherwise lost in thought. The sun was out, an early February rarity, and the further north we went, the more scenery there was to distract me. I'd driven stretches of 101 before, but doing the whole trek like this was new, and I loved how each half hour brought something completely different. Since Curtis wasn't objecting, I stopped at several different overlooks to take pictures.
Your groupie's gonna like that one.
Curtis managed to crack a grin as I quickly uploaded a selfie of me with the ocean and bluffs behind me. I'd made the mistake of telling him about my Instagram, where I had a fair number of followers, mainly fellow foodies who came for the meal pictures, but Mason and I both used our social media to try to promote the business.
They'd like it more if you'd let me take one of you. I countered as I pulled back onto the highway.
Take all you want tomorrow when I'm carving, and I can't stop you. But be sure to save battery life or whatever for the burn Saturday night.
I was really looking forward to that. The carvers would collectively create a huge 12-foot bear sculpture, and then, Saturday night, it would be set ablaze in a big bonfire. I was also looking forward to the food. I'd bookmarked places all the way up the coast where we could find vegan food for Curtis, and interesting local cuisine for me.
Do you know what you'll carve? Or will you wait for inspiration to strike you?
This is gonna sound weird.
Curtis's cheeks went pink, and he seemed uncharacteristically uncertain.
But the wood will tell me. I mean, I know what sells. Bears at this thing especially. Birds. When I do the carving championships back east, unusual is best. People, pets, trolls, and so on. But as to what exactly comes out, the wood decides. I might be thinking bear, and the wood tells me it's a cub playing peekaboo or a big head. I just never know.
That's awesome. Can't wait to see what you come up with. I really couldn't. It felt like a huge deal that he'd invited me along, even if he was playing it off like it was just a favor I was doing him. I could tell from the way he kept going quiet that something was on his mind, and I had a feeling about what it was. I wasn't stupid. He'd been coming to this competition for years and years. Of course he'd brought Troy. And I was far from Troy. I knew that. And if it made me sad, knowing Curtis's heart was already taken, I tried to console myself with the friendship we were building. That was something. Curtis offered to drive after we stopped for food, but I laughed him off. I'm here as your chauffeur. Let me work. Rest the foot. However, by the time we reached the Washington coast, I was exhausted. Darkness blanketed the rural landscape when we pulled into the small, old-fashioned motel where Curtis had a reservation. It was near where the carving festival would take place, and the lawn and office were decorated with large carvings.
I did that one.
Curtis pointed to a bear riding a surfboard.
Oh, man! I love it!
I had to inspect it and take a picture while he got us a key. It was one of those places where we parked in front of the room, door facing the road. Inside, it was a simple space with a blue and white color scheme, with two beds with flowered bedspreads, older TV in the corner, and small bathroom beyond that. I collapsed on the closest bed.
I might not move till morning.
I groaned. I kind of expected Curtis to go to the other bed, but he landed next to me, further surprising me by grabbing one of my aching hands and rubbing it.
I'll take that to mean that fucking me through the bed will have to wait till tomorrow night.
He laughed and pressed a kiss to my cheek. Whatever had been troubling him earlier seemed to have lessened, replaced by the side of him I really liked, the part of him that soaked up my presence, looking for touches and cuddles. I knew he'd scoff at me if I pointed it out to him, so I kept my smiles to myself. We fumbled out of our clothes and snuggled under the covers. It was the first time we'd slept together without orgasms first, and it was nice that we could be this comfortable around each other. And as much as I loved dominating him, I also enjoyed being his body pillow, relishing the way he wrapped his bigger body around me. He'd set the alarm, but I woke up before it went off. Curtis was kissing my stomach, beard tickling my navel, the only warning I got before he swallowed me down.
Oh, this is nice,
I groaned.
Yeah?
His eyes twinkled in the early morning light. Grabbing my hand, he put it on his head. I loved knowing exactly what he wanted, and I buried my fingers in his hair, tugging lightly as I thrust up into the wet heat of his mouth. His arm wiggled against my leg with a telltale rhythm, and knowing he was jerking off got me painfully close in record time.
Fuck, I'm close.
He moaned around my cock, eager noises that made my balls tighten.
That's it. Suck me, and fuck your hand.
I turned my head so I could watch him stroking himself. He was matching my thrusts with his hand, a tight grip, and watching his cock move was mesmerizing. It made my orgasm sneak up on me. The pleasure built higher the more he writhed and moaned, hard sucks, revealing how into it he was. Finally, I couldn't hold back, and my hips bucked, and I came in big heaves, his name on my lips. He pulled back with a low groan, body bowing upward as he came too.
Oh, fuck! I want to start every day like that!
I laughed. But it was true. I liked him, not just our ability to share orgasms. I wanted him around. Didn't want this thing between us to end. And I totally owe you tonight.
Looking forward to it.
His eyes gleamed with wicked intent.
Now you want to go back to sleep, or you want to explore while I get set up?
Explore?
I could sleep in some other time. And help you. You don't want to stress the foot before you even get started.
Oh, I suppose I could let you carry a few things.
He was in a good mood, one that kept up through breakfast at a little diner, where he had coffee and oatmeal and toast, and I had an omelet. Several people recognized him at breakfast, and he greeted them all like old friends. He introduced me by name, which I supposed was a step up from kid, but didn't otherwise explain my presence. Not that I'd expected him to. Even if we had been anything other than tentative friends who had a lot of kinky sex, I didn't think Curtis was the type to go trotting out the boyfriend label. I tried not to let that bug me as we got unloaded over at the place where the carvers would work. It was a cold, windy day, but Curtis and the other carvers didn't seem to care. He looked like an ad for Pendleton blankets, total lumberjack porn in a red and gray plaid flannel jacket, gray knit cap, heavy work boots, bulging biceps, groomed beard, and a fierce smile for everyone who came up to him. I'd taken my own wardrobe cues from him. A heavy work shirt over a hoodie, my thickest belt, and the boots that were starting to feel like a part of me. I didn't care what people close to me thought. I loved my new look. I felt more myself than I had in years, and I fit in with the rougher, more rural crowd at the event more than I would have in my old preppy clothes. There were a lot of cowboy hats, camo pants, and denim jackets. There were around 15 carvers, each of whom had brought people with them, lots of families and multi-generational groups, and everyone seemed to know everyone else from the carving circuit and other festivals. As the morning drew on, tourists started arriving, many on motorcycles, and, like the carving entourages, a lot of them seemed to be regulars at the event.
"Curtis, you son of a bitch! Been too long!"
An older, burly man in a motorcycle jacket and leather pants approached Curtis as he was taking a break between carving the pieces. He was accompanied by a woman with long blonde hair and a fringed leather jacket.
"Bert! Betty!"
Curtis did the whole back-slapping thing with the big guy and a gentler hug for the woman.
"We didn't make it last year. Betty had a nasty flu. Troy around? Our oldest just got his CDL. Wanted to pick his brain about where he should think about driving."
The bottom of my stomach wobbled precariously. This was far worse than the people who'd been looking me over with thinly veiled curiosity. I waited to see how Curtis would handle it. But he was silent for a long moment.
"Bert, you fucker,"
the carver nearest to us spoke.
"Didn't you hear? Troy passed on 2 years ago in January." "Oh, fuck. Man, I'm sorry. That's rough."
Bert clapped Curtis on the shoulder.
"No, you two went way back. You need anything? Wish we'd known. Betty and me would have come down. Been too long since we headed south. Thanks."
Curtis nodded sharply. It occurred to me for the first time that I didn't know exactly how out Curtis was with his carving community. Knowing him and his zero-fucks attitude, he'd simply brought Troy around and let people draw their own conclusions. The crowd was welcoming to newcomers, but definitely rough around the edges.
"And who's this?"
Betty motioned at me.
"This here Curtis's new friend, Dogan, right?"
The other carver seemed happy enough to do Curtis's talking for him.
"Yeah,"
I said, and shook their hands. "Pleased to meet you."
"What you carving today?"
Bert inspected the large stump Curtis was working on.
"Reckon we might be in the market for another of yours. Betty was wondering if you could do a monkey." "Monkey? Haven't done one of those."
Curtis managed a weak smile for Betty.
"But I'll see what I get to later today. This is going to be two bear cubs wrestling. And I better get back to it."
With that, he put on his safety goggles and earmuffs and resumed attacking the piece with a new vengeance. I knew him well enough to see that he was channeling any discomfort over Bert and Betty's questions into his creations.
"Man, always such a kick to see Curtis work!"
Betty shouted to me over the din of a chainsaw, leaning closer so I could hear her.
"Yep," I agreed. "He's something else."
"Did you know Troy?"
she asked.
"Nope."
I shook my head. "I'm new to the area."
"Ah, well, he was one of a kind. They don't make them much better than him. Those are some mighty big boots you're looking to fill."
Her smile was kind, but her eyes were knowing, like she'd already taken my measure and found me lacking.
"Just here to have fun," I lied. And yeah, I knew that I wasn't Troy, wasn't ever going to be Troy. But I didn't need the reminder, and I really hadn't needed to see the way Curtis's face had fallen at the mention of Troy. He wasn't over that hurt. Probably never would be. And I was kidding myself if I thought this was anything other than a distraction for him. And I hated myself a little for caring so much, for wanting people to see me, not the ghost of the man whose shoes I never could fill. No, scratch that. I couldn't give a fuck about others. I wanted Curtis to see me, see what I had to offer. And because of that want, I knew I'd stick it out longer, even though I probably shouldn't.
16. Curtis. I found my zone about mid-morning on Friday. It was kind of like being in subspace. Details like people around me and the weather and even my aching ankle became white noise. It was only me and the saw, and the joy of creating something from nothing. At a certain point, Logan seemed to have declared himself my business manager, handling the sales for me and freeing me to carve without stopping to worry about counting out change. He left around lunch to get us food, and I immediately missed how he'd been dealing with the people who now wanted to talk and shit. I'd thought having Logan along would deter people from asking after Troy, but all it had done was raise a different set of questions, ones I really didn't want to deal with. "That's a young one you brought with you," Walter Wiggins observed. He'd been carving next to me all day. He was an old-timer who'd been in the business a good 20 years before I ever picked up a saw, and few could run off at the mouth like him. Older than he looks. God, I was glad Logan had let the goatee grow in. He looked early 20s at least now, and not the 19 he had before. But he still didn't seem as old as he was.
"Oh, he's a nice kid. Doing good business for you, that's for sure. I'm just saying, when my Estelle passed on, God rest her soul, I knew I'd never have another friend so good."
Fuck. Was I really supposed to take a vow of celibacy just because Troy was gone? Is that what people expected? I shrugged. "He's just someone to help with the driving," I said, hating myself for the lie. But really, it wasn't any of Walter's business. "Here's lunch." Logan came jogging over. "I found this great little sandwich shop in Ocean Shores. She made you a wrap with hummus and vegetables, and I got her special fried oyster sandwich for me." If he'd heard what I said to Walter, he didn't show it, beaming at me as he handed over the food. It was a cold, windy day, and his smile warmed me through. And fuck Walter, I couldn't help but smile back. "Thanks." Left to my own devices, I would have had peanut butter on sourdough and kept right on carving, so this was a treat indeed. "You get a picture of the food place?" "Yep, I've been taking a ton in between doing business for you." "I appreciate it. I'm gonna get back to it after I eat. I need to make sure I'll have something worth auctioning tomorrow. And I gotta do my part on the group carving for the burn."
"You boys gonna come eat after we wrap for the night?" Walter asked. "My daughter and her friend are coming down from Bellingham this afternoon, so they'll join us."
Walter's schoolteacher daughter had brought the same friend the last few years, Gloria, a tall, leather-wearing computer programmer who rode an older model Harley. I expected it wouldn't be much longer before Walter would be telling me about wedding bells and babies. "This one will put pictures of the food online." I jerked my thumb in Logan's direction, making sure he seemed on board. He gave me a fast nod. "But sure, count us in." On my own last year, I'd skipped the socializing. But I did like talking shop with the guys I only saw a few times a year, if that. Not everyone in the carving community chose to hang around me, but I didn't sweat it. I had no fucks to give small-minded fuckers who weren't worth the chisel of hate they wielded. There were enough like Walter who made sure I'd been welcome. Of course, some of that had been Troy,
He'd been easy to like, got along well with all the good old boys and bikers, spoke fluent redneck while being whip-smart and funny. He'd been more popular at some of my events than me. And his large build hadn't hurt anything either. He'd known how to intimidate when needed. I'd worried more about Logan, but he was holding his own, taking pictures of people's work, making sales for me. When Walter's daughter and Gloria showed up, Logan admired their new matching ink and the bike and made himself two friends for life. By the time a bunch of us headed to Ocean Shores for food after a fast break for showers and non-sawdust-covered clothes, he'd collected names and numbers and had Gloria chatting to me about websites she could build me. "I don't need a website," I protested. We'd ended up at the same pizza joint we went to every year. They owned more than one piece from Walter and me and others in the group, displayed along with various carved and painted fish and license plates and vintage photos in the large dining room. Walter's daughter was lactose intolerant, so she split the no-cheese, all-the-veggies pizza with me. Logan, of course, had to sample various pies, including mine. "Walter's business doubled last year after I got his up and running. Flat out doubled. I can optimize it so that you and him show up whenever people look for chainsaw carving. You'll see." I glared at both her and Logan. "This is just a ploy to get me to buy a new laptop, isn't it?" "Yep." Logan wasn't apologetic as he popped a black olive in his mouth. "Gotta join this century. I'm coming for your phone next." "Oh, hush. It works. I like this one." Gloria waved a slice of pizza in Logan's direction. "Keep bringing him around." Huh. There was an idea. I let myself imagine that world, one where Logan didn't move on, didn't find his ideal sub, didn't get his big dreams. Nope. Much as I liked that picture for me, liked the idea of bringing him east to the big carving championships and returning next year here with him, I wanted him happy even more. My strongest wish was for him to get everything he wanted, needed, deserved. And that wasn't me. It would be like trying to shove the sun into a cardboard box. He deserved so much more than what I could offer. So I just smiled at Gloria and didn't say anything. Conversation moved on to who was going to the Oregon Championship in June in Reedsport, and then the Nationals in Wisconsin in August. I'd be going to both, most likely. Would Logan still be around in June? August? He asked all sorts of questions about both events, and that image of taking him with me got stronger. Fuck. I didn't eat much after that. "You okay?" Logan asked on our way back to the truck. "I can drive." I held my hand out for my keys. "Like hell. You're limping pretty bad. I'm going to get you ice from the machine when we get back to the room." "I don't need taken care of." I slid into the passenger seat simply because I didn't need a parking lot argument. I wasn't feeling very civil. "I think you have whatever the carving equivalent of sub-drop is." Logan took the road that led back to the motel. "You rode endorphins all day. Now they're fading and you're cranky and in pain." He wasn't wrong, so I snorted. And it was easier to let him think that was the entire issue than to tell him I was tangled up in wanting things I had no business lusting after. "I've never had sub-drop," I lied. "Huh." Logan's laugh made it clear he didn't believe me. "Luckily, I'll have all day to come up with a plan for you." "Oh?" In spite of everything, I was curious as hell. "You still want to mess around? I'd understand if you're too tired." His grin said he knew I wasn't turning him down. I could get interested. "Good." When we got back to the motel, he didn't waste any time in going into dom mode. "Strip, and then get on the bed, on your back. I'll return in a minute. No touching your cock." He slid out of the room after his order. Leaving me alone to stew was a new trick, and my stomach trembled as I undressed. Following his orders, I sent the covers fluttering to the floor and sprawled on the sheets. The prospect of whatever he had